So, look, something I teach my class all the time, and I've said it on the show many, many times. So, but it's always worth repeating. Somebody doesn't hear it for the first time, or then you reiterate it, and they go, oh, yeah, yeah. I've always told them, I'd rather have you be second and right than first and wrong. And when you're sitting in a studio away from somebody, and you're not reading the room, you're going to make mistakes. And what's interesting is that we see, this is 2023. There should be fewer mistakes in media now, based on past history, than ever. And instead, there are more. And you have to ask yourself, why are there more? And I think that's an interesting question. Why are there more mistakes now? So we'll start with this. There, I did mention this yesterday. And again, I don't know who reported what, and I have no idea who works for Athlon. I don't, as you know, let's see, how susceptible on a scale of 1 to 10 am I to clickbait?
That'd be a 0.
Yeah. How susceptible on a scale of 1 to 10 is the suit to clickbait? Oh, wait a minute. No, hold on a second. I was thinking about Amazon deals. So, you should see what I just bought. Okay. And that's what these headlines are all about. It's about hot takes. It's about clickbait. It's about assumptions. One of the worst things you can do in this business is assume. And there's that great clip from The Odd Couple. Long time ago, The Odd Couple was a TV show in the 70s with Jack Klugman and Tony Randall. And Tony Randall was in court defending himself. I'd like to point out, he who has himself for a client has a fool for a client. But he is in court, and the word assume came up. And he wrote the word assume on a blackboard. And he says, and when you assume something, he then circled the first three letters, you make an S out of you and me. And you can't do reporting by assumption. So two things out of that. Number one, I am not going to get into it, but I do know, I already knew for a fact he was not talking about Michigan. And number two, he was actually, in his own way, he was trying to praise the people that were doing the scheduling. And that's what he was trying to do. And, you know, I realize that people are looking at schedules now and they see UMass and Delaware on there. I understand that. I got it. But when you're in a conference now that, so I'm going to go a little afield here on this. When you're in a conference that now includes as your opponents, Michigan, Ohio State, Washington, Oregon, USC, UCLA, to go with Wisconsin. Do you realize that Penn State now will play a minimum of three of those every year, sometimes four of them every year? I mean, it only takes seconds to sit down and read them. So I'm not saying that this is a big effort moment here, because it doesn't take long to read it. Where you're talking about one-third of your conference schedule, and in some years 44% of your conference schedule will be against those teams. So do you need to set up, especially with a 12-team playoff, do you need to now set up, quote, a murderer's row on your non-conference schedule? You got a lot of people to play. Yeah, it does. You know, Penn State's been playing Power 5 teams every year in the non-conference schedule. This year, the non-conference included West Virginia. They're at West Virginia next year. But at the same time, you have to schedule smart. And he was not referring to Michigan, and I knew when I was sitting there he was. Now, maybe because I know. But he wasn't referring to Michigan. But at the same time, even if he was actually trying to praise what they were doing with it. That there's a common sense behind it. And the bothersome part was there was no follow-up question to it. Right? If you're not sure about something, follow up and ask. And that's what I tell the students in my class all the time. I said, look, always ask questions. I said, I can guarantee you there's somebody else in the class that has the same question you do. There's no such thing as a dumb question. So, I mean, I get where you're coming from. That's not the way things should be. As you know, I'm very anti-clickbait. I'm very, I'm for good, solid reporting. I've seen too many good, solid reporters let go, had to change jobs, had to scramble. And they're trying to adapt to what they think the culture happens to be. We have to adapt to what the Twitter culture is. You don't have to adapt to any culture. Guess what? You can set the tone for what's going on. You can set the tone with good, responsible journalism. Even The Athletic, which I've said before, that The Athletic, to me, in sports writing, not in broadcasting, but in sports writing, to me, is the last line. If they fail, long-form sports writing is going to fail with it. And The Athletic has reduced its staff. They've reduced it. And that's the problem you have. You have people that are trying to get their name out there and trying to show that they are like cut me a break. Right? Just do a good job. People will notice you. And you can't be assuming what somebody means. Oh, I know what they mean. Oh, you know what they mean, do you? Okay, well, good for you. All right. I'm glad I'm working with Karnak the Magnificent. If you don't know what they mean, ask. Don't guess. Guessing's bad.